Father, we thank you in Jesus' name again for such truth and mercy and grace and love. And Lord, thank you again that you have so freely given it all. You gave it all in your Son. Thank you, Lord, that you are all in for us. And I am so grateful to God for that. Lord, you gave it all. You withheld nothing. Thank you for the beloved Lamb. Thank you that we behold him. Thank you, Lord, that your word is going to have us beholding him. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, thank you how we are held by him. Glory to that love of the Lamb of God. Now today, Father, as this word is opened up by your Spirit, open our hearts. God, help us to truly to want to be attentive to how your word affects us and draws us nigh to you. And Lord, it does. It causes us to rise up as we feast upon it. Lord, knowing that we are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved us. Thank you for that assurance. Thank you, God, that there is nothing hard for you today. There is no difference in any trial we face. To you, God, the way of escape has already been made. We thank you for that promise. We rejoice in it. God, let this word of your grace be built up in our lives this morning, giving us that inheritance among all them that are sanctified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. If you open your Bibles with me today, we're going to the Second Corinthians and chapter 4 and verse 7. And the Lord has really had us dwelling upon this precious thought for some time now. And so he's just having us go right to the scripture. And again, as I said, maybe God willing tonight, if he tarry, we'll continue on with the abundance of truth in this precious scripture. I believe it's just such an all-in-all verse and so marvelous. And I do encourage you to, whatever you've got today, whether it's a Bible, an iPad Bible, or a phone Bible, or if you don't have a Bible, get by a Bible. Let's read the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I encourage you, get in the Word of God. Get that Bible, hallelujah, in your hands. And praise God how it just jumps in your heart. Hallelujah. But we, it says here, but we, see, we have this treasure. We got it. Hallelujah. In earthen vessels. And the treasure is Jesus Christ. Let's just get it straight right now. That's the only treasure there is. It's his Son. And we have this treasure in us, in the earthen vessels. And here's why. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. How wonderful. See, God set it all in our favor. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, in his favor. We got the treasure. So praise his name. My Son is going to be the one that's magnified. The excellency of the power, my grace, hallelujah, is going to be made known. That's it. It's going to be of me, and it's not going to be of you. Praise his name. And I thank God how this verse over the years has so convicted my life, moment by moment, so truly changed the direction of my life, altered my thinking, and I'm talking from my mind to truly having the mind of Christ, his life, praise God, taking over the reins of my heart. This word, hallelujah, and not my might. And really what the Lord impressed upon me this morning in this precious verse is we have no power. We have no power in our own strength. We have no power. There is no anointing in our own efforts. There's not. There is no anointing there. No matter how much you feel, no matter how much you think, in our own efforts of our flesh, those works, it is not grace and it is not love. See, God so clearly pointed this out from the very, very beginning with the precious examples of human beings and how he dealt with them and how he wanted them to come to him with the Lamb of God. In the beginning, we see the story of Cain and Abel. And we know that Cain brought the labor of his hands. Cain brought him the sweat of his brow. But God so clearly pointed out to Cain and to all of us all of your best effort, all of the things you can do, I'm going to reject it. I'm going to refuse it. Matter of fact, that is disgusting to me. Get it out of here. Bring me only the lamb. So simply, bring me my son. That's whom I am well pleased with, is my son. Now, many examples, but I was thinking even of King Saul, that first king of Israel. And he thought that, well, the prophet Samuel is not here. We've got to go to battle. I can't wait. This is going to be the same sacrifice. I'm just going to go ahead and do the same thing. I'm sure it's going to be acceptable and honorable because I'm thinking of that sacrifice. And I'm just going to go in my strength and my effort. And if you know that story, Saul's effort was abominable to God. That was the beginning of Saul's demise. Saul was the anointed of the Lord. God had allowed him to be the king, the first king over Israel. And he went in his own strength. And God stripped the kingdom from him. God stripped it from all of his family. See, going without the priest. That's what Saul did. He did not wait for the priest Samuel. That priest representing our great and only high priest, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Going to God without the Son, brothers and sisters, you will only be rejected. It's only going to be rejection. Anything of our own works. Even Peter, praise God. Poor Peter. But I thank God for that precious brother and what encouragement he brings to our lives. But see, he sought and he proclaimed things that he would do for God. If you'd go with me, we're going to read a few different places of what Peter really conjured up in his being, in his attitude, in his emotion of what I am going to do for God, what I am going to do for you, Jesus. I'm not going to listen to your word, but I'm still going to do something for you. Wow, I'm glad you got quiet because it comes home to roost real quick, doesn't it? Amen. In Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 21, and this is Jesus speaking again to his disciples. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, and Jesus suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. See, this is a joyous thing. This was, praise God, our salvation. This was the plan of God for the Son of God. Hallelujah. Honey, you're going to bring many sons to glory. This is it. You're going to be magnified as the once for all sacrifice. You're going to become sin for them who knew no sin. How magnificent this is going to be. And because of the joy that was set before him, he endured it gladly, joyfully, thankfully. And that joy that was set before him, never forget it, it was you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. His love for me is my strength. That joy that was before him as he went all the way through that journey to go to that cross for me. That's my joy. That's my strength. Praise God, his love to me. But then here's Peter. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." Boy, Peter was such a good guy. "I'm not going to let him do anything to you, God." Poor Peter. But he turned and he said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You see what emotion can do to your life apart from the word of God? He's mining deep. He wants you. He wants Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise be to God. Now let's go on over to John chapter 18. thanking the Lord for this testimony in this precious brother's life. In John 18, verse 4. And this is Jesus in that betrayal and when he was arrested there. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. Can you imagine that? See, Jesus knew what was going to happen. There wasn't anything took him by surprise. Even though he was a very man of very man, he was very God of very God. Come on now. He willingly went. And he went forth and he said to them, "Whom seek ye?" And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said unto them, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Isn't that funny? And if you read about it, they were dead. When he said, "I am," boom, they were gone. And see, he even had to get them up to go take him to be crucified. And you think Peter would have got it then, wouldn't you? He's standing right there. Oh, this is exciting. This is amazing. Oh, the Son. Hallelujah. All those things he said, they are true. They are real. It's so incredible. The Word of God is coming forth before me. I'm seeing it. But he didn't see the Word of God. He was still moved in his feeling, in his thought of obedience, and not in the love which is only in Scripture. So listen to what he says here. How wonderful. Jesus answered and he said, "Have I told you that I am he? If therefore ye seek me, these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, he drew it, and he smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, "Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Man. You ever felt like that? I have. Lord, help me get myself out of the way. Help me to quit trying to do this thing on my own. Help me to cease of my own works and know that you are God and enter into that rest. Amen. But Peter's life goes on. And let's go over to Mark. And this is kind of the rebuking of the rebuking here as it culminates. Mark 14, verse 27. And Jesus said unto them, and this is again, he's speaking to the disciples, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." And I mean, you're at a dinner with him, you're having a really nice, sweet time and all this, and he comes out and says that. Well, it kind of riled up some flesh there, didn't it? Listen to what happens. This is that precious dinner. "For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you in Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended," all these guys, all these other disciples, all these, you know, and these guys, you know, just cut and run, "I will not." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee," now it's going to get personal, Peter. You stepped out here, I told you all we're going to get it. Now we're going to do something special for your life because you got a little bit more pride than everybody else here. "That this day, even in this night, before the cock crow thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." Now look at that. See, Peter even encouraged and roiled up that flesh in all of them, didn't he? Huh? Now we know the end of that story. God's word is true. Peter even got more adamantly as they asked him, "Hey, weren't you with that fellow after they took Jesus?" "Oh, I don't know him. He's over there in that fire pit second time. Hey, I don't know him at all. Get away from me." Then finally they come over to him. And that third time, if you even read that, he curses. He curses. "I don't know that so-and-so, so-and-so guy."
And then he sees Jesus looking at him as he walks by. Huh? Oh my. Oh my. See, we're powerless. We are powerless in our own strength. Peter and all his good thoughts and all his good deeds and all of his godly thought efforts were completely empty because he was going in his own strength. But see, what happened was great mercy poured out, great grace. See, God wasn't done with Peter. God was going to show himself faithful. And Peter finally does receive power. It's so wonderful. And this was the power, praise God, that the Lord had told Peter that he would receive. But see, Peter still wasn't going to wait for it. See, a lot of times when God tells you to wait and to be still and to know that I am God, yeah, you just get a little antsy. I'm not feeling anything. I got to jump ship and go find something else. I got to go get me another coffee bar or climbing wall. I got to go get me another home group. Come on, man. He's after you. Do you want the word of his truth or not? What do you want? Do you want the whole counsel of God, or are you going to go on bits and morsels? He wants you to grow up fully. He wants you to be filled with all the fullness of God. This is what this time is for. And God help us to want what he wants for us. And I thank him for this. I'm so tired of my life that just went in this dead circle all the time. High, low, high, low. Oh, this is great. And then, you got to fall in love. When you fall in love, it captivates you. But here we go in John 14, 16 and 17. Listen to what he says to him there. This is great. Jesus telling his disciples about, you know, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna get crucified here. And matter of fact, I'm really gonna go because I'm gonna go to the right hand of the Father. But he says, but I'm gonna pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. See, he's gonna give him another comforter, and that comforter was gonna be the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, the world can't receive that Holy Ghost. Only, praise God, his children can receive him. Isn't that wonderful? Because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you. See, the Holy Ghost was with those disciples. But wait a second here, something was going to be different. And shall be in you. See, the infilling of the Holy Ghost was coming. Hallelujah. Now, I'm talking about an infilling, praise God, that they now could be led into all truth. An infilling, praise God, that could grow them up into Christ in all things, that the Holy Spirit could take all the things of Christ and make them mine. Now you're right back to the story of the bride for Isaac when Rebecca was at the well and there came the servant and he had all the things of the master in his hands and says, honey, it's all yours. Do you want it? Will you go? Huh? And she didn't hesitate. She says, I'll go. And praise God, she didn't merit a thing. She was just part of the family. Like about 1,000 upon 1,000 of other young ladies were. But there was an appointment. There was a circling out. There was one called. There was one chosen. And praise be to God, the grace that was bestowed. It's the same grace that's being bestowed to you today. You're that individual. You're that way with him right now. And will you go? Will you take this? Now, there's going to be ones that are going to distract you, even family. They're going to say, well, wait a second. Can't you stay and wait a little while? Can't you go after this in just a little bit? Even just a night? Can we just hang around? No, the Holy Ghost said, no, she got to go now. See, he's a passionate lover. And see, in our minds, we can say, well, I can get that tomorrow. I can put that off and, you know, I'll get to it later. Man, I'm telling you, when you're truly in love, and you know the ones that courted each other, and you pursued somebody and pursued somebody, and but after a while, you know, they just don't want it. And it's gone. Huh? Yeah. There are 5 foolish virgins that were called to a wedding too. And they had a lamp.
They had the story, they had the message, they had all of it, but they just forgot to keep that oil in the lamp. That oil, that love, that fervency. God help us not to miss it. God help us not to miss it. But see, Jesus told him of this power that he would have. And then in Acts 1:8, boy, I'll tell you what, Jesus tells him, you're going to have this power. And you're going to have power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then, praise the Lord, the faithfulness of God, bang, he does it. If you go right across the page there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4. Remember that upper room when they were all huddled up there? Man, that was a crowded place. There were a lot of folks up there, but they were waiting on what God told them. It wasn't comfortable. It even got a little stinky. They probably had a couple fights and bickerings. There was probably some murmuring there and people saying, wait a second, are you sure he said he was going to? And they had to encourage each other in the Lord, didn't they? But oh, look what happened. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. See, it's got to be one. It's got to be him. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, it wasn't just the word or the gospel in word anymore, brothers and sisters. Peter now had the power. And it says this in 1 Thessalonians 1-5, and you'll read it. It wasn't just gospel in word, it was gospel in power. It was gospel in the Holy Ghost. It was gospel in, we're going to begin now in the courtship. Now it's the table set for two. It's this fine dining. It's this wonderful intimacy, this fellowship with the Lord. You've got the Holy Ghost now, son. What are you going to do with it? See, God proved this to Peter. It wasn't what, Peter, you think is godly. It's not what your emotions think that make you religious. It's going to be by my Spirit. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen. And see, what was this power? Well, the power was so many different things. But I was thinking, Lord, for my own life in a testimony. You know what that power is? It's the peace that passes all understanding. It's really taking that. And I thank God, it's complete rest. Complete rest. Ceasing from my own works and entering into the very rest of God. Watching the excellency of the power of God. What is really the excellency of the power of God? It's grace. Just watching the grace of God take over my life. That's what finally happened to Peter. He quit trying of himself, and then God could use him. Then God could use him. Praise the Lord. But it had to be the grace of God. That was the only thing that was going to be magnified. It's not, the power is not going to be of man. It's going to be of God. The Holy Ghost captivating everything in our lives. Taking the things of Christ and making them ours. And leading us into all truth. And as I kind of mentioned a little bit before, it's amazing because I can testify of this, and each one of you can too. Your life just doesn't live on tidbits and morsels of truth from time to time. See, in the Word of God in Revelation, the innumerable multitude, the biggest, largest group that's up in heaven, is singing salvation to our God. That's wonderful. I thank the Lord for that. But there is a smaller company that, praise God, that are ruling and reigning with him in the midst of the throne, and they worship. They worship day and night. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. They are so set apart to God. That's the holiness, sanctified, that's happening right now. And see, brothers and sisters, we don't just have to be singing salvation to our God. I thank God that he brought salvation to our God. But we don't just sing it, we grow in salvation. Do you know that? And matter of fact, if you'll allow him to, you'll grow up into complete salvation. It's incredible what God has for us, brothers and sisters, filled with all the fullness of God. Not just a reflection, like a moon glory, but praise be to God, even a sun glory. Huh? Do you believe the word of God for yourself? Do you know that that's the Bible tells you those things? But not only do we need to hear those things, praise God, they need to saturate our hearts. And to hear those things over and over, bringing those things in remembrance, lest at any time we should let them slip. It grows old. Thanks be to God. I have that testimony. I told you the very last time that the Lord ever had me with Brother Hill up on his bed, and he had been in that coma for all of that time, and the Lord came over my heart, and truly just worshiping God upon his bed as he just laid there, comatose in a sense, no reaction, no nothing. And the Holy Spirit came down in the utterance and the tongues that were just flooding that room. And then the Holy Ghost coming upon my life and encouraging me to pray for my brother. And then the encouragement that took the sorrow in that moment of sadness, in a sense, and making it such a full joy. Praise God. It's sun glory for you, Papo. It's sun glory. And praise be to God at that moment. Amen. Amen. And then finally, you reckon so? Now I stand before the Lord and everything. He did that. He did that. You think that don't mean something to people that believe that? It's everything. It even awakens the comatose. And there wasn't anything coma there. Let me tell you something. It's just like with sweet little Lauren. Praise God as she laid there. God encouraged my heart what fellowship was going on there. Let me tell you something. God's always on the job. Always on the job. And so far exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. Just shut this thing down. God help us. See, and I'll wrap this up. But see, you begin to get this glory in your life, brothers and sisters. Your glorying won't be just escaping a trial anymore. Your glorying will be why you're smack in the middle of it. It will be. Because you realize in truth, in love, that is the greatest time for your life. It's the greatest praise to God. It's the increasing of faith in you. No longer will you be looking for feeling, but you'll stand in faith, knowing the word of God is for you. It's absolutely for you. And if he be for you, which he is, this word is for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? Do you realize he said it completely in his favor, and you are his favor, so it's completely in your favor? We have this treasure. You've got it. What are you doing with it? Hallelujah. Are you praising him for it? Are you allowing him to grow that treasure up, the inheritance of God? Because he set it there for one purpose, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I want that. I want that. I want that all over my life. Praise God. But you know what it is? Is it stepping out? It's stepping out just like Pentecost. It was raining. That was that beginning rain. It was raining Holy Ghost. It had never rained Holy Ghost like that. That was the rain that he had spoke of, Joel. It was going to come down, hallelujah. But the word of God says there's a latter rain. And let me tell you something, it's pouring outside. It's pouring. It's pouring so much, just like Aaron when he was anointed. It said that oil was dripping from his beard. How much do you want, huh? By the grace of God, let's want it all. But you got to get out in the rain. Amen? And I don't mean just an R-A-I-N, I mean an R-E-I-G-N. I'm not a good speller, but I think I know that one. You're never going to reign with him over there until you reign with him here. And the only reigning that's ever going to happen in your life is when that Holy Ghost hits you. And I mean just, yes, it's called filled with the Holy Ghost, but it's called the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And he gave you the Holy Ghost to be full of the Holy Ghost. He gave you the Holy Ghost to worship him in spirit and truth. He gave you the Holy Ghost so the love of God would be just shed abroad, gushing in your life for him. It is for you. It's yours. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to that knowledge. And go look that word knowledge up in the Greek. It'll even make you blush.
It's the intimacy of the love of between a husband and a wife. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you again in Jesus' name for all of these hearts here today. And Lord, for your truth, because that's it. See, that's the all-powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It just cuts right down to the true intents of our heart. We cannot fool you. We don't want to fool you. We just want your word by the grace of God. See, it's just the grace that makes us want this word. But really, as hearts pray to you today, as we come forth in this altar call, that every one of us would take a moment, Lord, truly, give me more sincerity. I want more. I want more love. I want more truth. I want more grace. I want to believe your word even more. God, give me a desire that I want to hear the word of God. That I want to come to a Sunday school, that I want to come to a Bible study, that I want, that there's a need, convict my heart to get the Word of God out every day in my home. Lord, to hear the Word of God, to have it saturate me at this time. Lord, because it's good. Every good gift comes from above, and you withhold nothing good from me. Help me to enlighten my eyes to see it. Help me to quit being so ignorant or stubborn or hesitating or embarrassed. Whatever it may be, God, break down the wall right now. Lord, help us. We do need to come boldly to this throne of grace and get it, Lord. Get the word and get that love and get that truth. And you are so ready. You said, oh, all my grace is there in exceeding supply, always, forever. So you superabound to every good work. Honey, come and get it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.